All right, we're all set. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We're gathered at an unusual time, 9:30 a.m., Wednesday, August 12th, for our regularly scheduled commission meeting on the 12th floor of the State Capitol. I'll call this meeting to order. All right. I don't have any opening comments this morning, so I am going to turn it over to my colleague, Commissioner Christman, and see if he has any opening comments.
I don't have any opening comments either. Maybe some closing. We'll see once what all comes out in the meeting.
Okay. Excellent. And Commissioner Kalk is maybe calling in. We're not sure this morning, but he is on a pretty interesting mission with NARUC this morning in China, doing some work with clean coal technology and his chairmanship of that committee. So we're excited for him to be representing North Dakota and the U.S. on that mission and understand if he's unable to make it for this meeting. He did clear his portfolio of agenda items in some previous meetings, so he doesn't have any agenda items on this on today's meeting agenda. Okay, so I guess we'll move straight into the consent agenda. There's a number of items on our consent agenda. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I do want to note that we did add additional item to the consent agenda, and you have that information. There's not time for publishing, but it is on the agenda, and so by passage of this motion, that also includes that particular item as well. Okay.
That's the Targa Badlands item.
Exactly, yes, okay. And it should be in front of you at this point. All right. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay, moving into the regular agenda, I have one item on today's agenda. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC Lonesome Creek NGL Pipeline Project McKinsey Siting Application Case Number PU-15-137.
Second.
On April 7th of this year, One Oak Bakken Pipeline filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for approximately 4 miles of 8-inch diameter natural gas liquids pipeline and associated facilities known as the Lonesome Creek Pipeline in McKinsey County. On June 3rd, the commission found the applications complete and scheduled a hearing to be held July 30th. That hearing was scheduled was held as scheduled. This project consists, as I said, of 4 miles of 8-inch pipeline and associated facilities in McKinsey County. The project will originate at One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC's Lonesome Creek Gas Plant, located approximately 5 miles southwest of Arnagard, and will transport Y-grade NGL to an interconnect with One Oak's Garden Creek NGL pipeline, located approximately 6 miles southwest of Arnagard. Above-ground facilities will include an inline tool receiver site and valves at the GCP interconnect. The maximum operating pressure will be 1,440 pounds per square inch. The maximum capacity of the project will be 30,000 barrels per day, and One Oak testified that the project will operate initially at 15,000 barrels per day, and the total anticipated cost of the project is $6 million. One Oak testified that an alternative to the project would be trucking of the NGLs and would require 95 trucks per day to transport products to the One Oak Rockies Midstream Riverview Rail Facility in Sidney, Montana. The following agencies were contacted: United States Fish and Wildlife Service, Game and Fish, North Dakota Game and Fish, North Dakota Parks and Rec, North Dakota Department of Trust Lands, and the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. Responses were received from most of the agencies, and no agencies expressed any concerns with the project. The North Dakota State Historical Preservation Office concurred with the no significant sites determination for the project. No exclusion areas encompass more than 50% of the survey area, and none will be impacted by the route. One Oak identified one inhabited rural residence within 500 feet. and they have obtained a written waiver from that owner, and the project will not impact any other avoidance areas. They also identified four wetlands and have committed to minimizing the impact of the wetlands during construction. One Oak testified that a supervisory control and data acquisition system, a SCADA system, will be installed as part of the project, and the project will be continuously monitored by a control center in Oklahoma. And they also testified that the project in its entirety will be co-located with other pipelines owned by One Oak. So kind of in summary, this project is 100% co-located with other facilities, which is something that the landowners appreciate, and it's a good best practice to be followed. They have the waiver from the one occupied structure within 500 feet of the pipeline. The landowners support this project. There was no public opposition during the hearing, and the project, one of the most interesting aspects of this project is that there will be dual construction with another line in the same area, and so there will be dual reclamation of this line at the same time as well. Both lines will be installed, and then one contractor will come through and reclaim the area. So that's a nice best practice as well. A good way to minimize the impact. And so this is one of those projects that really helps support the reduction of flaring. It helps to support the capture and the processing of the gas and using this gas resource for its many multiple benefits. And so I'm happy to support this project this morning.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that one pipeline project concludes my portfolio. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Commissioner Chrisman.
Okay, RC1, I move the commission approve revision number 13 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-9401 held by BNI Coal Limited to update the legal and financial section and surface water management, mining, and reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
Mining has been conducted in permit 9401 to remove lignite prior to construction of disposal cells for flue gas desulfurization sludge from Minn Kota's Milton R. Young station. Three disposal cells, regulated by the Department of Health, have been constructed to date. Minn Kota began operating disposal cell number 3 in 2013, and cells 1 and 2 are undergoing closure and reclamation right now. Disposal cells 1, 2, and 3 have been bond released as industrial areas for the mine and are now under the sole jurisdiction of the Department of Health. Disposal cell number 4 is proposed for construction in 2021, pending a future post-mine land use change to industrial use and the Department of Interior approval of a lease that BNI mine the federal coal. So special condition number 1 that was attached to revision 12, the previous revision, prohibits overburden and coal removal on the federal coal tract until a lease is acquired and a federal mine plan approval is granted. However, the condition allows soil removal and other activities on that tract to the extent any surface disturbances are necessary to support mining operations on adjacent federal lands. The new haul road will be used to haul coal from permit number 1101 for the next 30 years. BNI submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notices that are required, indicating that it was published in the Center Republican and the Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members and received no comments or objections. The worst-case reclamation cost estimate used to establish the minimum bond amount was determined to be just over $1.4 million, and BNI has filed a stipulation to increase surety bonds to that amount. The stipulation has been reviewed and found to be properly executed. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends its approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve renewal number 4 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-9401 held by BNI Coal Limited to extend the permit term for another 5 years until August 16th of 2020.
Second.
Now, this is sort of similar. The previous one was a revision, and now this is the renewal. So on April 15th, BNI filed the application for this fourth renewal to that permit. The mining has been conducted in this permit area prior to construction of the disposal cells that I mentioned. No coal is projected to be removed during this next permit term, but coal will be removed in 2021 when that fourth disposal cell is constructed. And a portion of this area is also needed to support mining in the adjacent permit number 1101. Same story on the affidavits of publication and on the bonding as in the previous case. And so on this renewal, Reclamation has also completed the review and recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-595, canceling roving grain buyer license number 3187, issued to PICO North Star Hallock or Hallock LLC, doing business as North Star Agri Industries of Kennedy, Minnesota.
Second.
PICO North Star notified the commission that it will no longer purchase grain under roving grain buyer license 3187 because it was transferring ownership to CHS Incorporated. PICO asked the license number 3187 be canceled as of August 1st. Staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC number 4. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-610, canceling warehouse license number 1287, issued to Prairie Premium Oil, LLC at Northwood, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Northwood is discontinued.
Second.
The commission received a request to discontinue business from Prairie Premium Oil for its licensed grain warehouse at Northwood. The Northwood facility was licensed in June of 2014 to purchase canola seed for processing into oil. Prairie Premium has no outstanding storage obligations and said that it planned to enlist the services of a large national grain sourcing company to purchase the canola to feed the crush facility. So staff recommends the request be approved. I would also add, just for your information, that according to the Norwegian Ancestry Maps website, Northwood, North Dakota, has the highest percentage of people of Norwegian ancestry of any city in the United States at 55.5%.
Might have to retire to Northwood.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Oof, that's a lot of Norskis.
55.5%. RC5, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-611, acknowledging the expiration of warehouse license number 334 on July 31st of 2015 and the automatic discontinuance of business on August 1st of 2015 of Halliday Farmers Elevator Company at Halliday, North Dakota, for failing to file the required public grain warehouse license renewal in a timely manner.
Second.
North Dakota Century Code provides that an annual license obtained from the commission expires on July 31st of each year. North Dakota Administrative Code provides that an application not received in a timely manner result in the automatic discontinuance of business on August 1st. In late May, the commission mailed a public grain warehouse license renewal application to the Halliday Farmers Elevator. in early July. We mailed a reminder to them that a license renewal application had not been received. The renewal application was never filed, so staff recommends the commission adopt this order. I would also add that Halliday, which used to be in District 33, which I knew well, is the home of John S. Lesmeister, on North Dakota's 30th state treasurer.
Was Halliday the home of the largest percentage of Chrisman supporters?
I had very, very good relationships in Halliday.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-612, canceling warehouse license number 277, issued to Woody's Feed and Grain at Dickinson, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Dickinson is discontinued.
Second.
The commission received a request to discontinue business from Woody's Feed and Grain. The facility was sold to and will be licensed by Scranton Equity Exchange. The grain inventory was sold to Scranton Equity Exchange, and Woody's Feed and Grain has no outstanding storage obligations, so staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC7, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-613, granting the request of Scranton Equity Exchange to operate a 122,000 bushel grain warehouse at Dickinson, North Dakota.
Second.
So this, of course, is the flip-flop of the previous one. The previous one canceled the previous owner. This one licenses the new one. Scranton Equity Exchange filed this application to operate the 122,000 bushel grain warehouse at Dickinson. So statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends the license be issued. Scranton, by the way, is an interesting little town. They were named after Scranton, Pennsylvania, because Scranton, Pennsylvania is in a coal mining area, as Scranton was certainly in those days. Also the home of former Secretary of State Warren Christopher and music star Kat Perkins.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC8, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the commission to consolidate the captioned cases under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Mid-State Communications/North Dakota Telephone Company, Local Exchange, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-15-615, and Mid-State Communications/North Dakota Telephone Company, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-15-616.
Second.
The explanation is hardly any longer than the note, than the actual motion here. On July 31st, North Dakota Telephone Company and Mid-State Communications filed a joint application requesting authorization for North Dakota Telephone to provide local exchange telecommunications services in the area currently known as the York Telephone Exchange, which is currently served by Mid-State. And also, same day, North Dakota Tel and Mid-State filed a joint application requesting that North Dakota Tel be designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier in the York Exchange. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by September 25th, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine this matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will add one little thing about York. I'm not a regular viewer of this program, but I'm told that in an episode of How I Met Your Mother, Ted, the lead character, says he has a new architecture project in York, North Dakota Library, And the library will have two sections, fishing and non-fishing.
Is there any further discussion?
Is York even close to a body of water for fishing?
It's by Devil's Lake.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC9, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-622, granting the request of American Bean LLC of Oslo, Minnesota, to operate a 333,333 bushel grain warehouse at Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Second.
First, I would note with all those threes in there, they must have been trying to get to my heart or something a little bit, you know, butter me up, but it didn't work. I'm judging the case on its merits. Grand Forks Bean of Oslo, Minnesota, filed the license application to operate this grain warehouse at Grand Forks. American Bean is established in this location to receive dry edible beans. The warehouse will be operated on a full-time basis during harvest and then as needed. Staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Your pronunciation of Oslo gives away the fact that you're not Norwegian. It's a very German pronunciation of Oslo.
Darn. And I bet you then, even despite the two N's on the end of my name, you hadn't noticed before, huh? Okay, RC10, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-623, granting the request of Wheaton Dumont Co-op Elevator to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Rutland, North Dakota.
Second.
Wheaton Dumont Co-op Elevator of Wheaton, Minnesota, filed this application to operate as a facility-based grain buyer at Rutland. The facility is being leased, but was last licensed in 1997. Wheaton operates grain facilities at Hankinson, Lamar's, and Matador, and with the addition of Rutland, will have a combined capacity of 1.852 million bushels. Wheaton purchased approximately 10 million bushels of grain in North Dakota at their other facilities between April 1st of 2014 and March 31st of 2015. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
One of my favorites, you know, is the rancher here. This one really hits home for me. Rutland. I don't know if the record still stands, because this was in 1982, but when you go into Rutland, their sign is a great big frying pan that they used to fry what was, in 1982 at least, the world's largest hamburger, 3,591 pounds.
Wow. They had
it's a lot of beef.
Did they have a frying pan especially made, or was it just a symbol?
I think it was a big skillet that they used, they made to do that.
And is it a world record?
It was then. That's quite a long time ago already. I'm not sure if it still stands or not. But
keeping with our proud traditions of steel structures, they should have the world's largest hamburger. All right.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. Couple announcements here, just a preview of our what's around the corner tomorrow. We head to Williston for a hearing on a Vantage Pipeline, 8-inch pipeline project out in western North Dakota. We head the next week for a hearing on a Skakawea Pipeline project. That's hearing will be in Stanley. That's a longer line. I think it's 46 miles. Let's see. We have some work sessions coming up on NSP, some NSP ADP cases, requests, and a formal hearing on a Coyote Creek Mining notice of violation end of the month. And then, of course, the MDU gas rate increased request hearings the last day of August and the first day of September. So next couple of weeks, continue the busy calendar at the PSC. Any other announcements, Randy?
If, just in closing, I didn't get to this in an opening comment, but I just spent the last day and a half going out to Billings. The Bureau of Land Management had a listening session regarding a proposal that's, you know, kind of a national phenomenon that they're looking at the possibility of raising the rates or deciding what rates they should charge on federal coal leases. And some of the thought process or the way they framed it was, you know, are the taxpayers getting a fair rate of return when they lease and ultimately sell these minerals? And, of course, in some of those states, the BLM holds vast tracts, and that's, you know, almost all that is mined in those areas. I went out and pointed out to them how North Dakota is rather unique in that the BLM tracts are very small tracts surrounded by state-owned or, in most cases, privately owned tracts of minerals, and that even at the current prices, the BLM coal is becoming less and less lucrative for mining. And in one of our recent mine permits, the plan is actually to go around some BLM coal, just, you know, because of the time it takes to get the permit, the leasing done, and so the surface will still be disturbed in the process of mining the surrounding coal, but that BLM coal is going to be left behind, and it'll never be feasible to mine it again when the surrounding coal is gone, and I told them the bottom line is that the fair rate of return. The rate of return if the coal is not mined is zero, and that certainly is not a fair rate of return for the American taxpayers, and it's becoming a serious problem in North Dakota. There's some other mines that are actually starting to look at that possibility because of the delays in getting their leasing approved, and that was the message I delivered to BLM yesterday out in Billings.
Well, I'm glad you made the long trip and stood out in line in the hot sun for a good amount of time to get into the hearing. And these hearings are kind of turning out to be somewhat like rock concerts. They're getting so much attention across the country. And I think it was great that you shared what we're seeing already happening in North Dakota. It's like a patchwork out there with these chunks of land, federal land, that aren't being mined because it's more bothersome to get the permit than to actually mine it, and so they're being left.
Yeah, it's,
and that's not a good deal for American taxpayers.
It is quite a waste of a resource, and not to mention the fact that then some other land that maybe was less excellent for the mining process will be disturbed instead because that was, you know, they had to go around that. So it's a losing situation all around when they make the process too difficult.
Another example of the broken federal regulatory processes and how they're really disserving the American people.
Right.
What was the reaction? Was there any give and take with and who are you speaking to?
Some BLM folks, I don't have the names with me.
Okay.
I think we'll try and get some more information out. And I got that in very late last night. But, yeah, there was a lot of give and take. There was a large contingent of, I don't know if they're the same camp, you know, people testifying that are just anti-coal, that want it stopped, that there should, you know, feel there should be no coal mined at all. Some that, I don't know if that's their ultimate goal or not, but, you know, they just talk about wanting a higher return for the taxpayers and that just urging BLM to charge a lot more. And then there were people primarily from Wyoming and Montana there that representing coal interests that feel that the burden is already substantial with the leasing and that it should not be tinkered with. It was a pretty active meeting. We stood in line, couldn't all get in. They set up a room outside for people to watch on video, and it was certainly a well-attended meeting.
Yeah.
And they had a timer up as we spoke, your 3 minutes were counting down, and when the 3 minutes ended, the bell went off, and you were done. So, a lot of people were scratching out their notes and deciding what they were going to change from what they had planned.
Good. Well, thanks again for taking the time to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions from the audience?
My apologies for being late, but just if you could.
We were technically 20 minutes early to our normal meeting time, right?
That's correct.
As were the rest of you.
But tell me about the importance of the new One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC.
Sure. Be happy to kind of revisit that a little bit. It's a small line, but it is an important piece of infrastructure that helps contribute to the reduction of flaring and the use of this gas resource long term for the benefit of folks in North Dakota and beyond. And really, it's a 4-mile line that will take the gas from the new Lonesome Creek processing facility that's scheduled to be up and running the end of December. And it will transport that gas to the Garden Creek line that is the NGL line that One Oak uses to transport their liquids to external markets. And, you know, without this piece, they'd have to truck this this product, so that they estimate 95 trucks per day would be required to transport the 15,000 barrels or gallons per day that they anticipate producing on the front end, and then up to 30,000 long term. And I think the 30,000 relates to when that Lonesome Creek is at full capacity down the road. And again, the total cost of that project is $6 million. And as I mentioned, one of the most unique aspects of this project was that they're 100% co-locating along an existing line, and they will be dual constructing and reclaiming that line, which is not something that we've seen a lot of. And I think it's just a step in the right direction for all the landowners involved to have the companies come in and out one time and reclaim the land together and have hopefully the best possible outcome for the reclamation in that way.
I would probably assume this is the case, but would construction be done by the time the plant's done?
Yes. The construction, let's see here. I think they're anticipating the construction to be done this fall yet, but I'd have to dig
that
up that.
December, as was I recall it? From the hearing.
Okay. I'll take your word for that.
Okay.
I don't see it right off the bat. But John is here. He represented the company.
Plant scheduled to come online December 1st, and this will be in before that.
In before. Okay.
And what markets does this stuff go to? You said external markets. What?
I believe.
What area is it?
It's south. Is it Wyoming? Is that the end point for the Garden Creek?
It goes to Montana. There's a connection point in Riverview, Montana. From there, it goes either rail or pipe.
South to Wyoming and west. Yep. Any other questions on that one? Or anything else?
Oops. Again, sorry for being a little late today. Just a quick question about that permit revision for BNI coal. Is there anything kind of exciting about that at all today?
Well, I don't know that the permit revision is all that exciting. I think, you know, one of the things that that is most interesting in it is the delays with that fourth holding pond. You know, a lot of that, I believe, is the result of just what I was talking about out in Billings yesterday. I'm going to watch Jim here to see if I misstate any of this, but because it's not really reflected in their mine plan. But when I talked about 2021 and building that fourth pond then, I think that's primarily because they don't have the leasing done for the coal under there. And it's being held up. It's federal coal. It's a tract. And so they can't complete that and keep moving through in what would seem like a real orderly time frame. And so that part is sort of being delayed, and hopefully they'll ultimately get the lease and be able to continue on with that, because it's nice to pull the coal out, build the pond, and do all that together. But, Jim, am I missing anything on that?
Well, it's a matter that the scheduled time for building this, the fourth cell for the disposal of the waste from the power plant is scheduled for, I think, beginning in 2021, but the mining would start sooner than that. But it's questionable if the federal coal lease will be granted in time for them to mine that coal. That's a matter of they build that cell that's been quoted and build that above the coal or look for a different location.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? Nick?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks for coming. We will move straight into we have to sign some things. Can we sign afterwards? We'll move straight into the admin portion of the meeting since it's pretty short.